by an angel. It's a dramatic story. In fact, when Peter was released from that prison cell by that angel, he went immediately to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. Why did he go to that house? Because he knew that's where the believers would be gathered and they would be praying. And sure enough, verse 12, where many people had gathered and were praying. The church, missions, is built upon our prayers. I think of the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is often seen as the birth of the church. It's also seen as maybe the beginning of missions where the gospel is being sent out into the whole world. Acts chapter 2. But let's back up a little bit and consider what was happening before Acts chapter 2, before the day of Pentecost. We read in the scriptures that the believers in Christ had gathered together for those 10 days between the ascension and the day of Pentecost. They were gathered together. And what were they doing as they gathered together? Well, the book of Acts tells us they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. The church, born on the day of Pentecost, was built on this bed of prayer, this foundation of prayer. I think that can also be said for our church here in Newark. I know we have always been a very mission-minded church. We've always been a very prayerful church as well. And I think that's one of the reasons that we have been so blessed from the Lord, is that we are focused on the things that are important, proclaiming the Word of God, praying diligently at all times, and being mindful of that great commission and being a mission-minded church. In Acts chapter 3, we read about, or 13, we read about Paul being sent out as a missionary for the first time. The church of Antioch was the church that sponsored him and supported him and prayed for him. In fact, we read in Acts chapter 13 that when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them. They sent out these missionaries with their prayers. And so that's what we want to do as we go into this week of prayer for missions, sending out those missionaries. We continue to send out missionaries with our prayers as well as our giving. Later on, the Apostle Paul will write a letter to the church of Ephesus, one of the churches that he brought the gospel to. And in that letter, he describes the armor of God. It's a familiar passage. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul put on the whole armor of God. Now, the purpose of the armor of God was that we would be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We were to put on that belt of truth, that breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, putting on that helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And then, verse 18, that's the key verse for this morning. Paul says, after you've suited all up, got all prepared, what are you to do next? Go out and fight? No. Paul says, verse 18, and pray. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. One verse. He uses the word prayer three times. And he also uses the word supplications at one point. So really, you can say four times. Four times. In one verse, Paul says, you're all suited up? Pray. 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 Offer up supplications. Don't you think we should be praying a bit? And when we get all suited up, we should be giving ourselves continually to prayer. Well, I know this week we're going to be committed to praying throughout the week for each of the missionaries listed on our prayer guide. But we continue throughout the week and then into this next year with prayer in mind, knowing that the prayers of a righteous man are indeed powerful and effective. One more wonderful passage from the Apostle Paul. He writes this to the church in Rome. This is Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 30. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Paul is asking that the believers in Rome strive with him in their prayers for his on his behalf. And then he gives what he wants to be prayed for in the next few verses, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Two things I want us to notice in this passage. First of all, I want us to think about the manner of prayer that Paul is encouraging. He says in that passage, strive together with me in your prayers. The word strive comes from our word to agonize. The very same word is used to describe Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke chapter 22, verse 44, where we read that Jesus was being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. Jesus was striving in his prayer. Paul is asking us to pray a prayer like Jesus prayed. Hudson Taylor, founder of the China Inland Mission, also encourages believers to pray earnestly, to strive and agonize in their prayers. Listen to this quote from Hudson Taylor. He says, if we are simply to pray to the extent of a pleasant exercise and know nothing of the waiting and weariness of prayer, we shall not draw down the blessings that we might. We shall not sustain our missionaries who are overwhelmed with the appalling darkness of heathenism. It is ever true that what costs little is worth little. Hudson Taylor, like the Apostle Paul, says we gotta sweat a little bit. We gotta work a little bit. We gotta strive. Remember the prayer of Jesus in the garden? He was sweating in his prayer, and his sweat were like drops of blood. That's what Paul wants us to do as we pray for missionaries. Strive in our prayers. The second thing we want to notice from this prayer request from the Apostle Paul in Romans 15 is the items, the things that we are to pray for. Again, there were three things there. Paul said, please pray that I be delivered from my enemies in Jerusalem, that there be an acceptance of his ministry in the Jerusalem church, and that he reach Rome safely and with joy. Now, were those prayers answered? Well, yeah, if you're familiar with the book of Acts, Acts chapter 21 through 27, the closing chapters of the book of Acts is the dramatic story of Paul going to Jerusalem, being rescued from his enemies, being welcomed by the church, and moving off to Rome safely and with joy. Every single one of those three prayer requests were answered. Why? Because the believers in Rome prayed for the very things that Paul wanted them to pray for, and their prayers were answered. Why were they answered? Because the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. We want the gospel to go into all the world. We want the Great Commission to be fulfilled. Well, let's go and become engaged in proclaiming the gospel. Let's be generous in giving to the support of other missionaries. And let us pray. Let us pray for missions. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the word that you have given to us, word of salvation, word of truth. And Father, you have commissioned and called us to share that word with the whole world, starting at home and spreading out to the whole world. Father, I would just pray that as we, as believers here in First Baptist in Newark, commit ourselves to praying throughout this week, praying throughout this coming year, that we would pray for our home church, we would pray for missions in our area, missions in our nation, missions around the world. Let us be a people of prayer. Let us be a people that is generous. Let us feel that we are part of something so very important, bringing the kingdom of God to all the world. Father, we thank you. And even now, we thank you for fulfilling this prayer and letting us be committed and generous in the work that you have called us to. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.